And let us read together. Verse 28 reads, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God." Amen. We want to look at just some comparisons, some distinctions of what the verses lets us know. We go look at on this side. We want to look at what is a Jew, and they just got that outward appearance. And we go look at the Jew, and the inward. We want to look at what they both share is what? The outward circumcision. We remember from Genesis chapter 17 that anyone who would not get this seal of circumcision, that they would be wrought from Israel's covenant and promises. They would be cut off. They would be cut off. So let's read verse 28 again. It says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." This gives us an inclination on how God sees. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Does God see like man? Question. God does not see like man? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is going to define to us how man sees and how God sees, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's read verse 6 and 7. "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." Read closely. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what?" The Lord looketh on the heart. The context, Saul, Israel, first king, have been what? Rejected. God tells Samuel to go and anoint a king that's in the house of Jesse, someone who will be king. And Jesse lined up all of his sons. But there's one son who was not even included when he lines him up. And we understand for that son name to be David. David. What I want us to do is, let's look back at verse 6 for a moment. "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Let's think about this. This is Samuel doing the looking. Samuel was looking at Jesse's sons. Samuel was a great prophet. Samuel was one who was bold. Samuel was one that even the people feared, because he really cleaved to the word of God and declared whatever God would say clear. The sons of Eli, Samuel was the one that told them their ways were wicked. Samuel was the one that, when God was silent for Israel for years, he started to speak to Samuel again when Samuel was a child. So the significance of why I'm speaking on this and why I'm bringing this up is because you have a wise man of God that is looking at the outward appearance and said, Eliab got to be God's anointed. He is the one. I'm doing this for us to keep in mind the danger of the outward appearance. have you ever, and I know some of us have you ever had an encounter with someone who sees themselves as very spiritual, see you at a mall, see you at a grocery store, see you at a library, and tap you on your shoulder and say, "Sister, you saved, ain't you? The Spirit of God is just all upon you. I see His Spirit all on you. You saved." Yep. Somebody can relate. Somebody can relate. I could tell my spirit and your spirit connected. God looketh on the what? Man looketh on the outward appearance. The outward appearance. This is such a big deal because the Jew, who is the Jew outwardly, got caught up in the same thing. They got caught up in the same thing. So the keys throughout this study, we want to just look at time after time how God warns the Jew of things concerning the outward appearance and how they yet refuse to not acknowledge external things. And how they refuse to not acknowledge the inward things, but they embrace and took pride in the external outward appearance of just hearing the word of God, and concerning the time past program and the ages to come, concerning the prophecy program, the program that's under the law, you had to hear and do what? You had to hear and do. It was a dispensation. It was a time. It was under law. It was hear, believe, and do. Amen? Okay. Very interesting passage that we now want to go to. We want to go to Psalms chapter 78. Very interesting passage. It's just, it's certain, I just want to remember, sometimes I forget to just put my ideas or the word of God on the board. I want us to see where we're going, and I want us to connect what's going on. In Isaiah chapter 28, you don't got to turn there, go to Psalm 78, but in Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10 reads, "Whom shall he teach, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." Listen to verse 10. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line." Let's think about this. Hear a little and dare a little. If you are truly interested in studying God's word, God's way, can you read one verse and one verse only and build a complete doctrine as though that's all God ever said about that? We understand 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 lets us know to study to show ourselves approved unto God as a workman. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But in order to rightly divide the word of truth, there are things that we are lining up in a particular place, and we're going to different passages to see those things, hear a little and dare a little. Amen? When you look at the rapture, we understand we see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but is that the only place we can see it? No, we can go to 1 Corinthians 15. We can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's places that we can go to see things that is to hear a little, there a little, and that's what we are going to do, not just today, but every time we get together, that's what we do. That's how we compare spiritual things with spiritual. In Psalms chapter 78, what we want to do is we want to start at verse 1, and we're going to see some things concerning a Jew outwardly and a Jew inwardly. And I just want you to follow along with me as I start reading from verse 1. And verse 1 reads, "Give ear, O my people." Who is the O my people? Amen. "To my what?" Another proof, there's Israel. "Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." So once again, one of the greatest verses that we always, not even so much the greatest verse, but the verse we always want linked in our mindset is always Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It lets us know, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of." So we, at the end of verse 1, we see, "Incline your ears to the what? Words of my mouth," the word of God. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And Israel was supposed to do that. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6. They were supposed to tell generation after generation after generation how God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, the 10 plagues, how strong our God is. And they were simply supposed to trust in God, that he would fulfill every covenant and promise that he promised the nation of Israel, that they will come true. Amen? Okay, as we continue, verse 4 reads, "We will not hide them from their children, showing them to the generations who come, the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done," giving glory to God. Verse 5, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. We just stated that. No, you can look at Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 6. Verse 6 reads, "That the generations who come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." You know, for those who did that, what you see in verse 7, that as the Jew inwardly or the Jew outwardly, that's definitely the Jew what? Inwardly. Verse 7 reads that they might set their hope in God and not forget the what? The works of God, but keep his commandments. Verse 8. Here's the Jew outwardly. "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their what aright? Their heart aright." I want us to remember verses 28 and 29 of Romans 2. Let me just read those to you again. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Listen to 29. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God. So we want to always remember, as we're looking at the Jew inwardly and outwardly, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the spirit, the inward man. And the foundation of the matter is who truly has their trust in themselves or in God and his salvation. In God and his righteousness, or in themselves and their righteousness. This is the contrast that we have to look at to understand he who is a Jew outwardly and he who is a Jew inwardly. Okay, let's continue. We will be here for a little while. Let's continue. Verse 9, verse 8. Let's read 8 again. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit, there's the spirit, their inward man, was not steadfast with God, the outward. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Were they still Jews that was doing this? These were Jews. And let's keep in mind, the Jew inwardly and outwardly, they both share the outward circumcision. 11. "And forgot his works and his wonders that they showed, that he has showed them." 12. "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan." Don't think I'm babbling on. How important, how vital was it for generation to generation to generation to generation of Israel children, how vital was it that what happened in the land of Egypt be them being delivered out, and how God departed the Red Sea and all the mighty wondrous works and signs and miracles he did? How vital was that for them to keep their hope and trust in how strong God is? It was vital. It's very important for us to understand that the Jew outwardly was not impressed with that. They wasn't impressed with those things. Not even the generations that was years and hundreds of years down the line. Even those who came out of Egypt was murmuring. It's something. You know you got a pride problem when God can depart the Red Sea and you still ain't impressed.
Yeah.
You still ain't impressed. Wow. But that's that duality. Let's continue. 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made waters to stand as in heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and at night with a light of fire. This is something they're supposed to tell this to all their generations to come. All the generations. You mean, Dad, you mean at night? You mean at night it was a fire? Like it was a fire all the time at night. In the day it was a cloud all the time. I'm not impressed with that, Dad. This is the Jew outwardly, trusting in themselves. Amen? Continuing. 15. He craved the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their what? In their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Have he not done miracle after miracle up to that point? 20. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Last verse that we're going to read here. And this is the heart of the matter. This is the heart of the matter. Verse 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his what? That's the heart of the matter. That's the Jew outwardly. In verse 22, it lets us know the heart of the matter is they simply believe not in God and trusted not in his salvation, although they seen sign after sign, miracle after miracle, wondrous, marvelous thing after marvelous thing, they still believe not. Let's go to Proverbs got something to say about this as well. Let's go to Proverbs 28, next book over. Proverbs chapter 28. How wise is it that we should, or that Israel should have trusted in themselves and not in God? How wise is it for them to trust in themselves? Not wise at all. Like, what you say?
Foolish.
It's absolutely foolish. Not wise. Foolish. And we're going to see those two words throughout the study today. Wise and foolish. Wise and foolish. And Proverbs 28, verse 26. Let's read 28:26. And it reads, he that trusteth in his own heart is a what? Is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Matthew chapter 15. Is it wise to trust in your own heart? It wasn't wise for Israel. Matthew chapter 15. We just want to read verse 8. We want to look at some things. Well, let's start at verse 7. Verse 7 reads, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their what? And honor me with their what? But their what is far from me. Their heart is, this is the Jew outwardly. I want you to line up these verses. The Jew outwardly, that's exactly what they do. They honor God with their lips. They draw nigh. They believe that they're drawing near to God when they just talk about things and using really God name, but they're linking it truly to the traditions of the elders, the traditions of their fathers. It's not that they're really honoring the word of God. Because are they trusting in God or trusting in themselves if they just honor him with their mouth and their lips? Trusting in themselves if they just honor him with their mouths and their lips. Amen. Verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of who? Amen. Go to Mark chapter 7, please. It says it in a very, it's very strong how they reject the word of God in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, what we want to do is, let's read verse 7 and we'll work our way down. Mark 7, 7, and it reads, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of man as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Verse 9, very close. And he said unto them, meaning they're not doing this ignorantly, listen close. Full well ye reject the commandment of God. Here's why. That ye may keep your own tradition. This is when you can show someone who is willing to have a Bible study with you, someone who may have been going to church for 20, 30, then almost the entirety of their life, and you're going over things with them, and simply the gospel, let's say that's the first thing you're going over with them, and you introduce them to Paul's gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. And you read it very plainly. You read it, you have them read it, and it reads, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. And you simply ask them, what work does those verses that we just read in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 entail of the receiver? Where is the work in those verses that the believer has to do? Oh, well, you got to get baptized. No. In those verses, brother, in those verses, sister, where is the work that a believer, that someone who believes the gospel that Paul says he delivered unto you? It's simply not there, but how many of us have patiently had conversations with individuals who read that plainly, but yet reject it to link it to, well, the church that I go to, well, what my mama always taught me, well, you do know what Matthew 16 talk about. Well, you do know what Matthew 28, and guess what? Because right division exists, we have to divide truth from what? From truth. So, if God is not endorsing water baptism in order for someone to believe today, but yet that church up the street is, does that now become a tradition of man if God is not endorsing that today? A tradition of man. And full well, that's what individuals do. And when they don't rightly divide truth from truth, we not denying anything that water baptism at one time was present and had to be mandatory for someone to be saved, that baptism, and that when this dispensation comes to an end, it's going to come back into effect. We in no way are denying that water baptism is in the Word of God. Let's continue. Let's continue. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, please. Let me check it. When the Word of God says the commandments of God, the law of God concerning time past, it simply is the Word of God. The Word of God. Amen. When we talk about the Ten Commandments or the 600 plus commandments during that time when the dispensation under the law was in full effect, was those commandments the Word of God? the word of God. So they're simply rejecting the word of God. And this is what a Jew outwardly does. They are very, very religious. They put on a show. But John chapter 5, we want to read, let's go to verse 40. That's right, I'm in John 4. Okay, John chapter 5. Let's read verse 44. He makes a statement that, 41. I receive not honor from man, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. This is Christ talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Wow. 44. How can you believe which receive? This is what the Jew outward does. Which receive honor one of another, but this is what they do not seek. And seek not the honor that comes from who? That comes from God only. This is the danger of what the Jews was doing. And just like their fathers were murmuring in the wilderness, just like they was provoking God, not trusting in his salvation, not trusting in his strength, in Christ's earthly ministry, guess what it does? It simply carries over. And in John chapter 5, verses 41 through 44, we see that they seek honor one of another. But not from who? That's the danger. That's the danger. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. We got some time before we look at the Jew inwardly. Matthew 6. We go just read verse 2 of Matthew 6. And it reads, start at one. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is what? The Sermon on the Mount. So many congregations, so many churches today, this is like the pedestal of their godliness, right? this is their flag that they wave, but this is written, let's not forget, to who? To the Jews. This was written for their understanding. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, Romans 15 and 8. In verse 1, once again, it reads, take heed that ye do not your alms before man to be seen of who? Them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of who? Glory of man. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The Jew outwardly was a fanatic of receiving glory, but not for the sake of giving it to God and rejoicing in his word, but for themselves. But for themselves, they really trusted in themselves. Still in Matthew, go to 23. Chapter 23 of Matthew, please. Start at verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they did, you observe. And this is just so awesome understanding that the law is always not just saying believe, but believe and believe and do. So let's just keep that in mind as we read verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and what? and do not. Could a Jew be faithful to God if they did not do? That's not the circumcision that's of the heart and the spirit. The circumcision that's of the heart and the spirit. And it so contrasts with us today, right? It so contrasts with us. The moment that we put our faith in the gospel that saves, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Our works are absolutely eradicated for the sake of our salvation ever being in jeopardy, because we are complete in Him. We are complete in Christ. They, only in a dispensation of the grace of God, is there a completion in your salvation the moment you believe, no matter what you do a second after that. That's glorious, that's gracious, that's dispensational.
Amen.
And so verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on man's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. This is the verse 5. But how many of their works? But all their works they do for to be seen of man. Why? They make broad their, got a tough one, their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, all to be seen of who? Are they looking to give God glory in all that they do? And that verse really tells us, and like, and none of that, and everything they do is all to be seen. It's all to be seen. And this is the Jew outwardly. And the Jew outwardly, when we read Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, it lets us know that it's not the praise of God that they after, but even Romans 28 and 29 says they are just simply after the praise of who? They after the praise of man. This, the Jew outwardly is after the praise of man. And it really takes us to understand. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verses 12 through 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. And it reads, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So let's think about this. So I want to bring Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and we're going to read 13. And I got this sideways, but I want to bring that God knows the intents and the thoughts of the heart of the Jew outwardly, and also the Jew what? Inwardly. In verse 13, it'll let us know. Watch verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How many things? All things are naked and open to him. He understands the thoughts and intents of the heart. He understands those who are just hearing and have no intention to do concerning the Jew, and those who buy. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Brother Jeremy made a reference, Deacon Jeremy made a reference to this last week, maybe about 5-6 times, and I was so grateful and thankful for him. Romans chapter 2. Let's read verses 6, 7, and 8. And he made a reference to verse 7 numerous of times last week, and it totally lined up with the teaching. Verse 6 reads, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor, and for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness and indignation and wrath. This is what that Jew outwardly is doing in verse 8. They are contentious, they do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Now we're going to turn our hearts and our minds. We're going to look at the Jew inwardly. And the Jew inwardly, they practiced verse 7. It was those who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. What? And it was a continuance. They had to have patience and trust in the Word of God and relying in the Word of God. That's what a Jew inwardly was. And we got to remember, they don't got it like we do. It wasn't instant. It was patient continually, moment after moment. It was not, their understanding of eternal security was this: endure to the end. Endure to the end. Endure to the end. My last breath, I got to stay faithful. Until my last breath, I got to continue. Until my last breath, I got to sacrifice. Last breath, I got to keep the law. Until my last breath, continuing. Okay, so let's look at this Jew inwardly. Let's go to Psalms 28. Psalms 28, and we will move forward. Psalm chapter 28. I'm just going to read verse 7 in Psalms 28. Verse 7, this is the mindset of the Jew which is one inwardly. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield, my what? My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my what? My heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Let's go to Psalm 62. Chapter 62, we're going to read verses 5 through 8. Verse 5 reads, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from who?" It's from him. "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my what? Salvation and my glory." This everything about the Jew inwardly has everything to do with recognizing who God is and how important he is and how strong he is and how worthy he is, and he is my salvation, he is. It totally contrasts with the Jew outwardly. The Jew inwardly truthfully esteem God, his word, and his works. It's something during the time past program, how the signs, miracles, and wonders, they were really to understand that this is God expressing how strong he is during that dispensation. You was to see it externally. They were to be impressed with the departing of the Red Sea. They were to be impressed with the 10 plagues that fell among Egypt. They were to see the strength of God and to understand the turmoil they was in and see God deliver them out of that. Okay, well, you delivered us from Pharaoh in Egypt, but thank you for the 10 plagues, but now it's this big sea in the way. Now what? Now what you gonna do? Okay, lift up the staff, Moses, and they can get going on dry land. They were supposed to really be impressed with God. I think it's safe to say that as children of God, should we not be impressed with God?
Oh, yeah.
So often, ooh, that picture, look at that picture, those green, the beautiful green trees in the solar system. Well, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, it was them. You know, stay impressed with it, but let's be careful not to rewrite Romans 1 again and start worshiping the creature rather than the creator, right? You're supposed to be the creator we're supposed to be giving honor and glory to. Amen. Continue, let's read 7 again. "And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." And verse 8 reads, I love verse 8. "Trust in him." At how many times? "At all times. Ye people," oh, I love this part, "pour out your heart before him." God is a refuge for us. See, that is just beautiful. So Psalm 62, it told them to do what with their hearts?
pour out your hearts to God.
Sounds similar to a couple passages in the gospel that they were to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen.
All of it. Pour it out. Give it all to who you say your salvation is. Give it all to who you say your rock is. Give it all to who you say your defense is. Give it all to who you say you trust. Give it to Him. Give Him your heart. Give Him what you say you expect of Him.
And that's what the Jew inwardly do. They really expected and trusted for God to keep His. That was it. They really trusted Him. Proverbs chapter 3. Our interdispensational truth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. True throughout the ages, this verse is. I love this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine what? Heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's what the Jew outwardly did. They leaned to who understanding? Their own and not God's. How do you know, Rondell, they lean to their own understanding? They started doing these things called traditions of man. you really don't got to do what God said. You really don't got to give an offering or stay faithful to your mom and dad, children. Bring it to the altar. Don't worry about that. Okay? They was really rejecting the word of God to institute something that themselves did. Them themselves saw as this will justify me. Let's look at it says also a Jew is one, circumcision is that of the heart, and it says in the spirit. In the spirit. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, that's a beautiful psalm. Psalms 119, we're going to go to verse 48. And I know when I first learned how to, the necessity of understanding how to rightly divide the word of truth, and I totally got that Romans through Philemon was for the body of Christ. I used to wonder, like, okay, well, what's up with the other 53 books? Am I to stay away from them? You know what I mean? How do I perceive that? How often should I read them? And then Romans chapter 15, God bless you, Romans chapter 15, verse 4 gives us insight on that, right? Romans chapter 15, verse 4, let me just read that. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what?
Learning.
That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So, I am to read time past, the ages to come. I don't got to just stay limited to Romans through Philemon, but I need to understand it's for my learning, not for my applying. Understand who it is talking to, who it is not talking to, and when an interdispensational truth is to be applied, and what is an interdispensational truth. Amen? What is? So, Psalms 119, let's read verses 48 through 50. Verses 48 through 50, and it reads, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. 50. For this is my comfort and my affliction. Important words coming up. For thy word hath what? Quickened me. The Jew, which is a Jew inwardly, they understand that it is the word of God that gives life, that gives eternal life. It is thy word that quickeneth me. Amen? So we know, and we're going to look at a passage in John soon. Okay. I had another one in Psalms. I hate when I do that. Well, I do. 93, verse 93. Same chapter, 119, but we're going to verse 93 in Psalms 119. Glory to God. Glory to God. It says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast what? Quicken me. The Jew inwardly not trying to replace the word of God with their traditions of man.
And that's what we got to be careful to in this age of grace. We got to be careful to stay faithful to the Word of God rightly divided, don't we? We got to stay watchful. When you read, and I said this before and I say it again, when you read 1 Timothy chapter 3 and you look at the qualifications for bishops and deacons, be careful that you understand that's what faithful men and women, all members of the body of Christ, should strive to express, show, and be in. And one of those qualifications is that he must be vigilant, meaning watchful, aware. When it comes to the wholesome, sound doctrine, how to study God's Word, God's way, we want to be very aware of when we're watching a TBN, a TCT, a Daystar. And really, it really ain't hard because it's close to nothing in a rightly divided manner that's being taught on those channels. But stay vigilant. Stay watchful, because if something ever is, and it's one of my prayers, that one of these days, maybe we can find our way on Daystar. If you want to ask me, do I dream and do I got hopes? Yeah, I got hopes. Those one of my hopes that we can find a way to be on Daystar. Amen. Good hope. Good hope. Okay, turn me to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. So, in Psalms 119, we see that it is the Word that does what? Thank you. Quickness. It meaning it what? It gives. It gives life. It gives life. It's the Word of God. Does the traditions of man who reject the Word of God give life? It doesn't give life. It doesn't give life. So, John chapter 6, let's start at verse 63, okay? John chapter 6, we want to start at verse 63. And it's just going to come immediately out and say, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth how much? Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. And let's remember that a Jew inwardly, They understand that circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Not in just being a hearer of the word for Israel's sake, but being a hearer and a doer also. And why? Because they take the heart that God said, believe and do. They take it to heart. Why? Because God said. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Of God tells them, in order for them to receive their covenant blessings, they have to continue, believe, and do. They take that to heart. And when they take that to heart and do that continually, the Spirit quickeneth and giveth life. That's where their life resides at. And with that being said, go back to Romans chapter 2 and you simply go bring it to a close. Romans chapter 2. Let's read these last two verses again. 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. 29 reads, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit. And this is the part I love, and not in the latter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. That's the heart of it right now. Why do many individuals, I don't know how true it is, but I heard that, and I want to be careful as I say this, but and may I be careful to say, this is what I heard. I heard Charles Stanley sees and knows to study the Word of God and to teach the Word of God rightly divided is the way that it should be taught. That's what I heard. But yet, he doesn't. How many individuals that the thousands that come to his congregation Sunday after Sunday, it's to the point now, I don't know if you know, Charles Stanley has a Bible. He has a study Bible. Charles Stanley is everywhere throughout the world, radio, TV, everywhere. How many individuals who give faithfully to him, who praise him, will stop praising him if he starts to explain and stay faithful to studying God's word, God's way, and says Matthew 28 is not for us today. If he would stand in front of this congregation and say Acts 2 is not where the church, the body of Christ, began. That praise that's of God is what we are to endeavor to continue to do, is what the little flock did faithfully. That's what a Jew inwardly is. The heart of the matter, they're not concerned, and they pray that they don't get overwhelmed with being impressed with the outward appearance and the praise that come from men, the praise of men. And may we be careful throughout the entirety of our life to stay faithful to studying God's word, God's way, that we can stand before God, and we all will stand before him because we say, but those gold, silver, and precious stones, it really says something as we live out our life in eternity that, man, we stay faithful. Amen. We stay faithful. It's a desire that my prayer is for us, for myself. Comments or questions? Glory to God. Glory to him.
Something that we should always remember, not to try to determine something with the outward appearance. Because I'm going to admit myself, I used to take pride in it. Somebody gave that example. That probably happened to all of us. Somebody coming up to us. And, you know, you're a Christian, aren't you? You know, this or that. And it's like, I don't take any pride in that. If somebody did it to me today, and if they were to say something to me, and this is my choice to say, I was correct to say, well, it's my choice. I said, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And then I tell them why.
Sure.
And I bring it right to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Not because of me speaking softly or, you know, having patience and all of this stuff. And I just want us to be careful not to try to determine this or that about individuals. And if someone was to come up to us with that, I'm taking it fine, you know, like, so I'm just saying because you were soft-spoken or anything like that. I think when I did take pride in it, that was when I wasn't understanding the scriptures about, like, the flesh, you know, like, and all of that, you know, as well. So I always keep my flesh, you know, in mind and knowing that, thank the Lord that I'm saved by His grace, that I'm still in this fleshly body, so you probably won't say that to me the next time, see? You know, like, because, I mean, man, I'm in this fleshly body, so then what is going to be, are you not saved because I saw you get loud, you know, so.
That's a perfect door of utterance, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a perfect door of utterance. And it's what we do here. We hear different ways how some of us engage in the gospel. And if there's one thing, that I totally picked up on, and it is in my bag, from giving glory to God, with Pastor Leeway, when he would try to say to somebody, oh, you believe the gospel too? You believe? Like, if they approach you like that, sister, I know you saved. I could tell by your demeanor. You say, oh, you believe? Yeah, how do you know I believe 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4? You know what I mean? That door of utterance, they just open. You know I believe that? How do you know I believe that? Christ died for my sins, according. And then, when you listen to Pastor Reed, I'm saying this. This is not me, you know, oh, you always Pastor Reed. This is not the case. I listen, and I look for how can you walk right in when they open that door? How can I give them the gospel because they just told me I know you saved. I know you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know what a Christian has to believe, so you know what I believe. You know where it's found. Who wrote what I believe? And you know Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. How do you know I believe that? Amen. Somebody else, comment, question. Anyway, Deacon Steve. Glory to God, honey. Glory to God.
You supposed to deflect that praise. I throw it to you. You deflect that right to the Lord. And you understand.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that you recognize that I'm being obedient to the word of God.
Yes.
But let me deflect that.
Come on.
Glory and honor.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. Glory to God.
Well, that's the contrast you made there. Right there. Here. Good, I got it the other way. I got someone talking to me and say, oh, you know, I don't really see that you're really looking to be a strong Christian because, and they give you, oh, you're not, the church is doing a certain thing, or you're not, you know.
Right.
You know, and that gives a door to others too, because the reason you show you why I can do that, and I'm still right with God.
Come on.
You know, the traditional truth. And,
come on.
You know, then that opens a whole can of worms, but then they maybe stretch your head because it's from a denominational background.
Come on.
I was listening
to Ron Knight. I used to, before I came here, Ron Knight I listened to daily.
Yeah.
Daily. You have to have a wife right around the computer. We used to be there daily. And it was him who brought it up that he wrote him a letter. He wrote him a letter, and members in his congregation wrote him a letter as well.
I actually do remember Terrell Stanley preaching a lot better than he does today, years ago.
Wow.
But he went from the King James down or whatever it is he's using, NIV.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Total Baptist.
He is.
I don't have anything that I left last week. Because I heard him say that. He says, he is very adamant, that you cannot have the right relationship with God if you are not water baptized. You absolutely cannot. That was probably, this was years ago, probably after 5 years ago, I heard him say that. He was adamant.
Not budging him.
Yeah. And that's another example of somebody looking at the outward.
Takes so much pride in it. Takes so much pride in it.
Christian world, even your prayer life is based on outward circumstances. They look to see how the circumstances are being arranged.
Mm-hmm.
If things seem to go exactly the way they want it to, oh, well, God said yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly how they interpret it.
Yeah.
Shame. Someone in your
life.
The word of God.
Be amongst the different preachers in the old denomination. I was very kind of afraid that they would use once they began to preach. And once they began to preach at a pulpit, they would say something like, I feel my health coming on.
Oh boy, I remember that one.
I feel my health coming on within that traditional circle means that up to that point, it was just them preaching. But now the Holy Spirit is coming upon them. And listen, it's not going to take the lead. It's just going to help them to do what they're doing. And it's sad back then, when they feel my hope coming on,
half the congregation stand up.
And, you know, we didn't understand that, wow, it wasn't God the whole time. Even now, if you're not going to let him take the wheel, if you just take that seat, you just going to let him assist you, but then we didn't have enough sense to leave and run out of there at that particular time.
We
you know,
did.
But, you know, it's truly so good to thank God for the understanding that comes to God's divine word. And know that it simply comes from Him.
That's it.
We have nothing to glory in
that
He found something.
That's
God
it.
God revealed it to us.
Come on.
And,
come on.
That's really where
gotta have His Spirit. From. His Spirit, amen. His Spirit, His Word, it doesn't just quicken us. It gives the light. Amen. It illuminates. It brings it to our intellectual mindset to see the things. Otherwise than that, they just foolishness unto us. Okay. If that being all, and it seems to be all, Pastor Scott.
All right. Father, we thank you today for the time we've had together. This is fellowship with the fellow members of the body of Christ. We praise and go from here this morning. We gave the door of utterance open. The opportunity to share the gospel with others. And we pray for this. We pray for the gospel with our Father. Thank you. Our peace and family, our faith and worship.
Amen.